Hello and welcome to the Brothers Geek Podcast. I am Patrick Schmaltz, one of your hosts. What the fuck is that? What are you laughing at? Don't laugh while I'm doing my intro.
Announcer voice.
Announcer voice. Okay. The people laughing at me are my two brothers, Christopher Schmaltz. Hello, Christopher.
Hello, brothers Andrew and Patrick. How are you this evening?
Excellent, excellent. That's good.
I'm a little loopy. I cannot lie.
Okay, good. It's good. You're in a good mood. I like it. Andrew, hello. How are you?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 5.
Episode 5. We're on 5.
The official counter. The Andrew is the official counter.
Andrew is the official counter.
I put a little tally mark in my diary today.
Wow. You have a diary?
You have a diary?
I have a diary. I have very important thoughts that I need to write down.
It's my little pony diary, isn't it?
It's actually Rainbow Bright. Thank you very much.
Rainbow Bright.
Rainbow Bright. That's a deep track, dude.
Yeah, I know it is.
God, nobody remembers Rainbow Bright.
Everybody remembers Rainbow Bright, dude. No, what are you talking about?
No, that's a callback right there. Yeah. So let's start off with some news, because there was a lot of stuff that happened in this week. Holy crap.
Yes, there
was. You guys have got all your E3 gamer stuff to talk about.
Yeah, E3 happened this past weekend, and... Yep. It was insane, and actually, it was kind of not mediocre.
Not too insane.
No, very bland. Like, last year, all the discussion was about consoles, and this year was mostly about, hey, look at all these new games we're making for the consoles.
Games that are coming out in 2015.
Right. Nothing that's coming out now.
That was the theme. Yeah.
Yeah. Everything is 2015, 2015, 2015.
I have to say, shout out to GiantBomb.com, my source for all things E3.
Yeah.
Their coverage is excellent, and I followed them and watched their videos, and they are funny, and they provided interesting takes on the things that they saw that were new or...
Mm-hmm.
Elaborated on. It was good. GiantBomb.com, free advertising.
Well, they use, I mean, it's cool when you get a ticket to the show and then you can report on it on the fly and then have a discussion about it. Like,
well, they have a full like video podcast, you know, after the day where they talk about the stuff they saw and played and everything they did.
Dude, that's sick.
That day and the announcement. It's really, their coverage is great. Their coverage is great.
So. Hmm. Well, yep. Maybe we should step up our game so our coverage is that great. Just saying.
Well, we need to pay for me. You guys need to pay for me to go to these events.
Well, you can't get in unless you're industry, dude. And
I am industry.
We're in the industry right now.
Yeah,
so,
I understand.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah. The gameplay that I did see was the Destiny gameplay. They showed... Yeah. The Destiny gameplay.
Well, that's almost done. That's like, that's coming out in September, right?
Is the alpha out? Is that what
the alpha is
out right now, right?
Yeah.
I'm excited about that. I'm a Bungie fan. It has definitely a Halo look and feel. But it's coming out on all the consoles, right? So I'm psyched about that.
It's Destiny.
It's an MMO.
Yeah,
Destiny, it's an MMO sort of hybrid.
Exclusive?
Destiny?
It's not an... No.
Yeah. It's for all the consoles. And computer.
New current generation and older generation consoles.
Yeah. Wow. It'll be for the 360. And for the PS3.
I still haven't read... I frankly haven't done a whole lot of research. But if you're playing on 360 and you're playing on Xbox One, can you play together?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I'm sure it can't.
Yeah, I wonder. I don't know.
Is there going? It'll be. That'll be.
I'm sure that information is out there. I haven't been paying that close of attention to it, but I just watched the gameplay video and it looked awesome. So.
Mm-hmm. Well,
did you guys catch the little droid, for lack of a better word? I will liken him to 343 Guilty Spark.
Oh,
the little talking.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Droid. That was Peter Dinklage.
Yeah. Yes. No. I
heard the voice.
That,
yeah.
That was kind of cool.
It's awesome. Cool, yeah, that he's awesome. He's in it. Yeah. It's Destiny is like Borderlands and Halo had sex,
yeah,
and this is their, yeah, child. So I kind of like that.
Wow. It's been gestating.
It's, yes.
From a zygote.
Zygote. Callback.
Episode about Christopher saying zygote? I don't think so.
Callback to episode one.
I got to use that word. It's one of my favorite words, dude.
Okay,
I got to use it every. You know, I was remiss. I did not use it in episodes 3 and 4, so yeah. I got to keep using it. Every episode must have a zygote.
I just screwed myself.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew, for reminding
me. I teed it up for you.
For those of you playing the Brothers Geek drinking game at home, take a shot.
Exactly. You heard zygote, so you got to start drinking
now. That's right. Of course.
When Christopher says the F-bomb, we also have
to say, there's no F-bomb from me. No,
I dropped it already. So
because I started Battlestar over again.
Oh, rewatch the Battlestar, huh? That's good.
All right.
Yeah. Any what other news? The Harrison Ford news.
Should we even talk about this? Because he's not even injured.
We should not talk about.
Dude, he can't do any shooting for 8 weeks.
They said they're not going to delay shooting. Like he's still going to be able to do it.
Well, I just get that his role is minor.
I get the feeling he's probably an old dude now.
He's old.
He's old. He's like dad's age.
It's gonna be like, you know, him sitting on the porch, swinging on the porch swing.
He'll be sitting in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon. You don't need a working ankle for that.
With a wheelchair.
I guess so.
They'll just ride a wheelchair in.
Yeah. A hover chair. They gotta have some kind of space-based technology.
He's gonna be Professor X style in this next movie.
A speeder bike.
He's just gonna run around a speeder bike.
We're in all the scenes, so he's riding a speeder bike.
They're just gonna have like Chewbacca carry him everywhere.
You're like strapped to Chewbacca's
like
back.
Hodor and Brandon.
Yeah, so yeah, it's a stupid story, and I don't even think it's like worth mentioning because I think he's fine. He just hurt his ankle. Oh well.
We mentioned it. We can move on.
Yeah, that's
the awesome thing is they're shooting and they're making the movie and it's happening.
Things are happening and we're getting news off the set even if they are negative. So. Or kind of not even, there are nothing.
Negative? Why is it negative?
Well, negative of him, like, getting hurt, that's a negative, you know.
He's an old guy, so.
Yeah, exactly.
They're brutal.
One of those three was bound to get hurt in the making of this movie, so.
Trust me, I'm getting old, and I'm brutal, too. I understand.
Was there any other games that you saw from the E3 coverage that you were excited about? Like, did you watch?
No, this wasn't the WildStar stuff. Was not I think an E3 thing. Mm. It just made me pay attention.
Oh, okay.
Because it came out and various sites were talking about it and doing reviews and stuff like that. So the WildStar thing, but I don't think that was directly E3 related because E3 was about stuff that's coming out or they're talking about in the future. So.
I'm excited for a couple games that I saw trailers for, like The Division. I'm really excited about The Division. And then
talk about that. What is that?
It looks like a open world kind of a third person futuristic shooter. It takes place in New York. They actually like modeled it perfectly, so it's a big chunk of New York that they modeled like perfectly to look like it. It's the same distance and everything. So you have to like walk around and, it really looks good. It's, there's a lot of sharp, you know, sharp graphics and the interface is really cool. And, it looks like a fun little like open world, like RPG shooter. But it's like set in like the near future when there's been an economic like downfall of some kind, like United States is in kind of third world like area and you're some kind of soldier trying to survive in this post-apocalyptic kind of a setting, and it seemed interesting. Looks really good. You should watch the trailers for it, and the gameplay stuff for it look awesome. And it's, you know, you play with your buddies, and I love that.
I'm looking over the list, and I'm reminded now of something that caught my eye was the Battlefield Hardline.
Oh yeah.
Did you hear about this?
That I saw the trailer for it.
It's Battlefield, but it's like a crime drama, you know,
yeah.
Robbing banks and stuff like that.
That's interesting.
That's intriguing.
Yeah.
It's PlayStation and PC. It's not Xbox One, I guess. It's
weird.
Or I don't know. Maybe.
I actually have something to contribute to this conversation.
Okay.
In terms of something that I saw that I found interesting, I don't know if it was particularly debuted at D3, but they showed gameplay footage for Batman Arkham Knight.
Oh yeah,
where you can drive around in the Batmobile.
Yeah,
and apparently it has a tank mode.
Whoa,
where you can battle the Arkham Knight's like battle drone tanks.
Whoa,
and it looked pretty legit. I mean, the world looked huge.
Uh-huh.
And you know, the new design of the Batmobile, even there, I mean, in any of the Arkham games that I've played, there's been no vehicle component, so now they're adding that to the new its new iteration of the series, and it looks pretty unbelievable, to be honest. And that'll, you know, obviously driving the Batmobile is kind of the next level being Batman, so having that available in the next game I think will be a nice expansion to the gameplay, and the footage looked great, so
I was excited to see that. My whole thing with the Arkham Knight thing is, is the Arkham Knight that one guy from what was that story with Bane and he broke his back and then the other guy took up the Batman mantle and then Batman had to like
Jean-Paul Valley.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know the
Arkham Knight, he looks just like that.
He does. I don't know the story contained in the game though, if that's gonna be kind of the iteration that they use, or if it's gonna be some kind of
probably not
foe that they've created specifically within the universe of the game to
Why
take
don't
on Batman.
They just use that villain? Because that's a cool idea. That's like this guy that's been trained by Batman, and he even wears the Batman hood. You know, why do that unless there's a connection to it like that? And he's a Batman that kills people, and then Batman's got to stop him. That's interesting.
You know, I mean, we'll see what the story of the game, when it comes out. I don't even know when the game's going to be released, but...
Right. I didn't see a date for that.
That footage looked pretty cool. That was interesting to me, so...
The other two games that I saw announcements for or watched E3-related stuff on was Forza Horizon 2.
Ooh.
Right? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
And the Master Chief Collection.
Master Chief Collection.
That Halo bundle.
Yeah, all the Master Chief games in one bundle.
So, yes.
That will motivate me to buy a Halo 1 when that's released, I think.
That looks fun, and the Horizon 2 is more of the open world Forza game. And I played the first Forza Horizon. And that's fun, sort of. That was set in Colorado. I guess Horizon 2 is in Europe somewhere, or set in Europe. That should be pretty fun. So I'll have to get both of those.
Yeah, you like those racing games.
I do.
Yeah, the Forza series is pretty good.
I can
give or take them. I'm excited for another Halo game. I hope they keep making them. I think it's an interesting idea to like redo all the other ones so that they are like HD and graphic
Xbox One compatible.
Yeah, because like Halo 1 and 2 were so good, and if you could play those with like the 360, like all sharp and beautiful looking. Yeah. Oh man.
I think it would be a huge nostalgia trip to play Halo 1 on the 360 or even the Xbox One. I mean, I have a vivid memory of Christopher and I playing through Halo 1 Combat Evolved on, you know, in his first house when they lived back in Phoenix.
Yeah.
He got He got his deck, and he got the first game for Christmas.
3 a.m. Didn't we play that?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, playing that for game for six. I mean,
and first time the flood appeared.
Oh, my gosh. So great.
Gaming moment.
It was a pure horror-filled
moment. Just so
moment.
Fun. Yeah.
In a video so game. Good.
Yeah.
It was like, we were like looking at each other like, what is about to happen?
It was... That's great video game storytelling. That game was fantastic.
Yeah, that was fun. Definitely fun.
That's why I'm excited for that. I like the Halo universe, and I'm excited about Destiny because Bungie's making another game, and they're really good at making games. So.
Yep.
All right, well, let's talk about Scene, because I think we got a lot to talk about with Scene.
I think we can have a long discussion on one part of this,
yes.
To be honest.
Yeah. So we're recording this on Monday, what's the date today? The 16th. So 16th. The 15th Sunday, they aired the Father's Game of Thrones Day. Season 4 finale.
It's on Father's Day. I wonder if they did that on purpose. That's genius.
If you haven't watched this episode or you're going to watch this episode, you should probably stop listening, because we're probably going to ruin something.
Yeah, too bad.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
The next 10 minutes are huge spoilers.
Yes. If you're not watching it yesterday, shame on you.
Yeah, we don't want to know you.
Because this is the cultural conversation. So
cultural.
You get one day.
Yeah.
So
one extra day to watch it.
Okay, so this is like the culmination of the season. Like Tyrion, you find out where they're going to kill him. And, like, Arya is the captor of the Hound.
She's a captor. She means she's holding someone.
She's the captive of the Hound. Thank you, Andrew.
Captain Andrew.
Yeah.
Mr. English Lit.
English Dumb. Lit. Anyways. So... I don't even know where to start. Okay, Bran finally did something in this episode.
You don't have to sort of recount. You just have to.
But there's like all these questions that I have, and I'm like,
okay,
that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to remember what.
Dude.
So Bran finds the Three-Eyed Raven. Finally, it's this old dude in this tree.
Dude on the roots of the tree.
Right, yeah. Bran.
He is like a Jedi master.
Yes. He is.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's a warg.
Think of him as a Jedi master.
He's a warg, obviously. He can see in the future. He can take control of animals, too.
A bit more than a warg.
More than a warg. Just means you can invade your consciousness into another animal.
Okay. Bran can see into the future just like he can.
Can he?
Maybe.
Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
What did you think of the whole scene with the skeletons coming out of the ground?
Oh, my God, that looked amazing.
I mean, the fact that we're not talking about the death of Jojen tells you sort of how impactful that character was.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Well, I mean, this season...
smoked.
This season was so...
And they don't react even that much.
Not really. The sister kind of sucks it up, but...
She was pretty weak. But, his storyline has been the weakest this season, I would think. Nothing's really happened with him at all.
Dude, you haven't read the books. So in the books, that storyline goes on and on.
Yeah.
Right.
They have truncated it significantly.
Oh, yes.
Although I'm bummed out about what they left out from the book.
Oh, me too. Me too.
With that storyline. I mean, there's a significant omission.
Yes.
From Bran's storyline.
Do you
want to really
not ruin it?
I think we can talk about it. We won't give a lot of context about it, but there is a character that they completely eliminate from that storyline.
Yeah.
And that character is an awesome character in the books.
It's interesting. I was hoping that they would depict him some way and include him as part of their trek. But they don't. You're not entirely sure. He's a White Walker, dude.
What?
But he's like talking to them and friendly with them and
Whoa.
Helping them along their path.
He's benevolent.
And then when they arrive at the tree, he helps to defend them as they go under the tree. Yeah. It's pretty big.
Whoa.
They left it out of that story, and it's a pretty big omission.
Yeah.
And I get why,
yeah,
from a TV perspective, why you leave him out. But, you know, a pretty cool character in the book. So if you're all itching to read the books, read that. Read that and enjoy that part of the storyline. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good thing.
I completely agree.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so that's my question with that. Is, so at the end of the Arya has gone off on her own.
Yes.
Something happened to that.
Her story. Oh, I can't wait till next season, dude.
Oh, so, I can't wait.
So does she... Is she going to Braavos?
She is.
Yes.
Okay, so she got on the... Because that was a little, like... I was confused by that, because she was trying to convince him to take, like...
Valar Morghulis.
Take her... Yeah, take her somewhere, and then she said Valar Morghulis, and she gave him the coin, and then...
Yes, it's Valar Dohaeris.
Yes.
Yep. Yes, it's part of the club. That assassin dude, that's why in the preview... For the episode, they remind you that she got the coin from the assassin dude.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And okay.
So she's going to go over and see him?
He was from Braavos.
Point of trivia, do we know what those two phrases in Valyrian translate to?
All men must die.
Yes.
And the response?
I don't know what the response means.
Valar Dohaeris?
Yeah, what is that?
It means all men must serve.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Nice little piece of tidbit of information.
Serve
for you.
What? Yes.
Serve what is the right question, Patrick.
Oh, okay. Yep. Oh, one more thing with Bran. When the guy was talking to him and he's like, oh, you can give me back my legs. And he's like, no, but I can make you fly. Is that like a precursor to him taking over the dragons with his mind?
That's an interesting idea.
Maybe.
Is that what that means?
There are other creatures in the world that fly, bro.
Maybe.
This is true.
Yeah, there are other flying creatures. So.
Okay. All right. I just thought that was interesting. Like, if Bran could jump into giant creatures' minds like humans and other monsters.
That is an intriguing idea.
It is an intriguing idea.
Yep. Okay, all right.
I think, brother, it's also meant to illustrate Bran needs to abandon his pedestrian ideas of why he has been brought to this place to learn from this person. It's not about him learning to walk or magically healing him. It's about Bran fully realizing his potential and what that could possibly mean.
The standard literary trope of only the blind man truly sees.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, all right. So Tyrion escapes. And he
with the help of his
brother and Varys. And so that scene was intense, like him confronting Shay and then him confronting his father.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's hardcore. Mm-hmm.
Hardcore. Yeah.
My critique of that scene is, and I understand why they couldn't do it for TV, but the scene in the book, Tywin is actually much more humiliated when Tyrion... we're going to spoilerize this, so huge spoiler. When Tyrion shoots him with the first arrow, it goes into his gut, and Tywin loses control of his bowels, and he basically shits himself to death.
Oh.
And that's the way that it's kind of illustrated in the book.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's very graphic in the book in terms of how Tywin dies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was pretty nuts. Like,
no, it is. And I mean, and all the character beats that they hit with that instance between Tyrion and Tywin and all of that, and how Tywin's basically just trying to save himself towards the end, trying to convince Tyrion that, yeah, guess what? Of course I wasn't going to let you die. You're my son. You're a Lannister. I wasn't going to let them execute you.
Right.
Complete bullshit. Of course
trying
he
to
would.
Save his own skin.
He's just trying to save his own skin.
Right.
Yeah. And it's all perfectly charactered, and it all makes sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just, it's a gut-wrenching scene, because Tyrion has come to the point where he is, he can kill his own father.
Okay.
And the woman that he loved.
Yeah, that's hardcore. Exactly. Jesus. He's been pushed. Like, they poked the little bear, and he got angry. Like,
yeah, and he had the opportunity, and he certainly could have been killed in his wanderings in the...
My whole problem is, wondering where his story's going to go, because, the one thing he had going for him was he was a Lannister. And with him... with him not being able to use his name and he's on the run, he's just like this little smart dwarf. And so
he just said it, Patrick.
Yeah.
Tyrion has consistently been the smartest person in any room that he goes into.
Yeah.
So he was protected in Westeros by his last name.
Yeah.
But he has certain skills to offer.
True.
In many types of situations.
I wonder.
But your questions are right on, because if you're just watching the show,
yeah,
you have no idea. And he, the world is a freaking brutal place.
Yeah.
The world of Westeros, freaking brutal place. And all his protections are gone.
Yep.
So, who gives a shit if he's the smartest person in the room? Some dude will hit him in the head with a sword, and he'll be dead.
Right, but they wouldn't have done it before because of his last name, afraid of Tywin.
Exactly. The repercussions of killing him beforehand as a Lannister were too great for the people to just take it out on him. But now he's just nobody. He's worse than a nobody.
He's a weakling,
humiliated. Yeah, dwarf.
Poor.
So what is he going to do? His storyline is very interesting. So
I like it. I'm interested to see where that goes, because that's a huge change in his character dynamic. Huge. They basically took everything away from him.
The dynamic of the show would change dramatically
at
the end of this season.
Really, really good.
Speaking of brutal, the fight between Brienne and the Hound. Holy crap.
That was very, very entertaining TV.
Yes.
Very entertaining TV.
Very entertaining, but hardcore. She just hit him in the freaking head with that rock. Woo!
He was the same way. It's like, I don't fight like a knight. I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes. So, it was good.
I'm really satisfied with that, with the resolution to that. And, I really like the character of the Hound, and I really like Brienne, so I'm happy with how that went down.
Complete.
I'm curious to see where the show takes Brienne's story.
Yeah.
Is she in the other books? Does she continue?
Vastly different from the books.
Yep.
Vastly there different?
They do not interact in the books at all.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The Hound and Brienne. That is the biggest departure from their plots, is the fact that they intersect.
Okay.
There is no intersection of those two in the books at all.
Interesting.
So far.
Okay. All right. All right. Anything else you guys want to talk about Game of Thrones?
10 more months.
Yeah.
Till the new season.
Oh my God.
Seriously.
That's so long.
And probably at least that much time for the next book to come out.
My guess is that the next book will be released next summer. The Winds of Winter will be released next summer.
And that'll be the sixth book, correct?
That's correct.
That's a good guess, but who knows if that's true.
No. That's my guess. That is, because because the Dance of Dragons was released in 2012.
Uh-huh.
That'll be 3 years. I think it was 2 summers ago, wasn't it?
Damn. Wow.
It wasn't last summer. It was the summer before.
Wow.
Depending on all human knowledge. At our fingertips.
I wonder if there would be a database that could tell us.
what is Have you been watching Penny Dreadful, Andrew? Did you?
I have not. This first A Dance with Dragons, first published July 12th, 2011.
Oh, so wow.
So we'll be, by 2015, oh, we'll be God. 4 years.
Jesus.
So
holy moly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a long time.
Well, that's pretty on schedule for him. I mean, between A Storm of Swords and A Feast for Crows, it was 5 years.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and then A Feast for Crows and Dance of Dragons.
People who have been reading the series from the beginning, I can't imagine what that was.
The first book was released in 1996.
Oh, my God.
That's so long, dude.
Yeah, Game of Thrones was released in 1996. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I thought I was reading the Wheel of Time books from the beginning, and you know, I would devour those in a day when they came out, and then I had to wait another 2 years. It was like 2 years between books.
I can't imagine four or five. Yeah. Well, the Harry Potter books, I was given the first four. I didn't know about the book series until I got them for my birthday when I was like a sophomore in college. Wow. I got all four books in one shot. And then the next book, I was lucky enough that book five came out within like a year of me getting those books. But book six and book seven, I mean, there's 2 or 3 years between those. And I remember chomping at the bit for book six and book seven of the Harry Potter series.
Those were humongous literary events.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, it was incredible.
I remember going to the bookstore at like midnight and picking those up.
Oh, I did for book five. I was absolutely at the bookstore at midnight.
So moving.
One of the books came out during Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right.
Because we were in San Diego, and I went to a bookstore in San Diego and bought it.
I remember that.
That was Half-Blood Prince came out.
Yeah.
While we were in Comic-Con, wasn't it?
Jeez. I don't remember. I mean, I went to a bookstore in San Diego and bought like three copies so we could all read it at the hotel.
I remember.
Moving on. Penny Dreadful. Yeah. I have not watched last night's episode, but did you watch it, Christopher?
Either.
Oh, no. Okay. What do you think of last week's?
Oh, it was great.
It was really interesting.
I love that change in tone, and I mean, it's totally unique and interesting episode. Just fascinating storytelling and the visuals.
She's a weird character, man. She's got some darkness.
So weird.
Oh,
yes.
There is some dark, weird stuff to Ava Green's character kind of unexpected.
Yeah, who is she? Who is she a consort to?
Yeah.
What is she connected to? Crazy stuff.
What do you think of that scene that's like the tail end of her being like sick and like the devil or the evil spirit is talking to her and then her mother walks in? You know what I'm talking about? I don't want to say it on here because
it appears as if she's fornicating with
a spirit,
an evil being.
Yes, that is not there. Very hard.
Intense.
Wow, that was crazy television right there. Mm-hmm.
Crazy television.
Yeah,
right.
You were asking last week if she gets naked, Andrew. Yes.
Okay. Yes. This is the first time, and yes.
Yeah, it's not enjoyable, though, because it's not a pleasant experience what's happening to her. No.
Yeah.
Okay, Christopher, we need to surreptitiously get me your login for, like, Showtime Go or whatever so I can watch this. No?
Nope.
No.
So over your house, you plan to watch this when you're on demand?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
We should do that.
Fine.
Okay.
You need to watch it.
I do. I just don't have Showtime.
Just pay for it. You're making money.
I do make a lot.
What else have you guys watched? Anything you want to bring up, talk about?
I'm watching Salem. I am enjoying that show a lot.
Yeah.
I'm not giving that show a chance.
Yeah, I'm enjoying that show. It's dark and nobody is really a good guy, and I'm liking it.
Hmm. All right.
The story is good. What else?
I tell you what I'm gonna watch.
What's that?
The final season of True Blood starts next week.
That's right. Oh, yeah. I will be watching that also.
I mentioned it earlier, but I've restarted Battlestar, so I'm working my way from the pilot. All I'm gonna work. I'm gonna watch the entire series.
Such a good series.
Oh yeah. My gosh, so good.
One of my favorites by far. What did you think of the end of that? Were you happy with the ending?
I was confused. I was intrigued.
Yeah.
I was not entirely
satisfied.
There was a little bit of a let's figure out how to end this.
Yeah. Can we dial this down for just 1 second, though? Can I pose a question to the group?
Yeah.
Has there ever been a finale of any series that we've watched that you felt was totally satisfying? You really enjoyed it?
That's a good question.
What comes to mind for me most is the series finale of Lost, and I loved that show. And that was event television for me.
There was a lot of people that hated that, though, Andrew.
I know,
and like a lot.
I loved the finale of Lost.
I loved the finale of Lost,
Andrew, and I agree with you because all the haters who were hating on the finale of Lost. I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was interesting, creative.
Thought-provoking. Didn't give you all the answers. Everybody wanted answers.
Well, there are dramatic moments in this series finale of Lost, and what jumps to mind for me is the scene when Jack confronts his father, and they're in the church, and Jack learns about everything, and him and his father have this moment of catharsis, call it heavy-handed, call it whatever you want. That scene completely works for me, and that scene completely makes the finale for me. Yeah. I love it. That exchange, that 4 minutes where they're in the rectory, back room of this church, and they kind of come to a resolution in their ongoing drama between the two of them. I thought it was fantastic.
People can't get their brain around it, but I totally got it. And this is everyone. The idea that they're all connected and they remain connected into whatever the afterlife is, and that it's instantaneous for everyone.
Yeah.
Regardless of when you die.
Yeah.
The time doesn't work like we think it works on a human sort of perception level. And so regardless of whether or not I die now and then the person that was on the island with me dies in 30 years, it is instantaneous, quote-unquote, for us both to be in that church after we pass away at exactly the same, quote-unquote, time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
Yeah.
And there's no, it's not like you have blackness for 30 years. No, you die and you're there. And the person who I'm connected to on whatever mystical level dies 30 years later in the human scale is also instantly there. We're all meeting there at exactly the same quote-unquote time. Mm-hmm. But it's removed from the human scale of time and the human perception of time. I totally got that. That was just a wonderful idea and notion that they're all connected and they're all together and they will all be together as they move forward into whatever it is. I love that. Love that concept. I love that idea. People just seem to have so much difficulty with that. Yeah. And I was like, wow, that sounds fantastic to me.
Yeah. We all need each other.
I really like the ending of Star Trek: The Next Generation. Like all good things, that's a good ending.
That's a good point.
That was a two-parter, right?
Yeah. Where he's jumping back and forth. That's a good one.
Yeah. Yes. I love that one. Yes.
Q's pulling him back and forth through time, and
totally agree.
He has to make the leap to kind of figure out the paradox.
Yeah,
that was a really good finale. Really good. Yeah. This is a good question.
That two-part episode, the series finale of, it's probably better than most of the Star Trek feature films.
I really like. I'm okay with Generations. I really like First Contact. First Contact's the best one of the Next Gen crew.
I agree. Yep.
And
I agree. Generations is good.
What is it? Insurrection was kind of poo. And Nemesis was kind of poo.
Nemesis was even more poo.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of poo.
The only Insurrection thing was really... Insurrection was sort of just a long episode.
It really was exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So. Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm trying to think of like other shows.
Sci-fi finales. That's a good question for next podcast. I want to think about that.
All right. We'll come back to this subject. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, we'll talk about sci-fi show finales.
Yeah. Do we want to go red, or we got more stuff to talk about?
Stargate finale was excellent too.
Speaking of Stargate, are all of those on Netflix? Because I think I'm going to try SG-1. I think I'm going to give it a run through.
You know, I think they are.
I think I'm going to try.
We are such fans that we own every season.
Well, dude. if I lived down the street, I would just borrow them from you. But
yes, I think they're on. Yes, I've been watching that from day one. That is a worthy series. You really should watch it.
Excellent. I'm gonna give that a shot.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to talk about, scene, Andrew?
No, I mean, we talked about Game of Thrones. I was kind of living under a rock this week because I had a ton of work to do, so I didn't get to the movies that much. But no, we talked about Game of Thrones.
You saw 22 Jump Street?
I did. And it was a very entertaining movie. There are parts of it that are absolutely hilarious. I read online a comment by a reviewer or someone, you know, within the last couple of months who said that they would watch Channing Tatum read the telephone book. And I like Channing Tatum. I know he started doing dance movies and stuff like that. And
Magic Mike is a good movie. Actor.
Very talented.
Have you seen Magic Mike? It's a great movie. I mean, besides the half-naked dudes from the majority of it, but it's a really good story.
He does a great job.
Oh my god. Well, I chalk it up more to like being, what's that, Steven Sommers who directed that?
Steven Soderbergh,
that's what it is. Yeah. He did a great job.
He makes good movies.
Yeah.
Oh, he really does.
I
mean, Channing Tatum is great in this movie. Jonah Hill is always good. Jonah Hill has 2 Oscar nominations.
Yeah.
Two?
Seriously,
two.
Jonah Hill has 2. One for Moneyball and
Wolf of Wall Street.
One for Wolf of Wall Street. Did he win for Wolf of Wall Street?
He got nominated for Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah, he was so good in that movie. Oh my god. Yeah.
He got nominated Best Supporting Actor for 2 movies in back-to-back years. That's the kind of talent
he's legit, man. Jonah Hill. He's legit.
Yeah, he is legit. The movie is very entertaining, and the movie itself is about movie sequels. It plays on all the jokes associated with kind of crappy Hollywood sequels made for money. It makes fun of itself. It's very self-aware. It's very funny that way. I liked it a lot.
It's getting good reviews. It's making a lot of money, so I might have to go see it. I haven't seen the first one, so I'll have to give it.
The first one's good.
Yeah. I'll put that on my Netflix discs. Get that in the mail soon.
I can watch the scenes where Ice Cube, who plays the captain and he's the boss of the 21 Jump Street crew.
Yeah.
I could watch the scenes of him just yelling at Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill. They're ridiculously funny.
From the trailer, there's a part with Ice Cube where he's like, "Hello, welcome back, dum-dums," right?
Yeah.
And whenever I hear him say it like that, I think of Chris saying it like that. Like, "Welcome back, dum-dums."
Welcome back, dum-dums.
It sounds just like how you would say it.
It's good stuff.
Okay, Red. Let's go on to Red. Andrew, what do you got?
I am caught up with Batman Eternal. I am enjoying that series more and more. The most recent, I like they have multiple plot threads going through, and they're kind of all starting to intersect a little more, and I'm enjoying that.
Well, you were griping about that before, where it didn't seem like
I'm starting to see more kind of.
I like the multiple threads.
Yeah, it's just sometimes they're The lack of connection bugged me a little bit, but. One of the things that I'm liking more and more about it is one of the underlying kind of not the main story arc villain who's propelling the plot, but one of the characters who continues to pop up and cause mayhem and havoc is the character of Professor Pig.
Oh, yeah.
Who is a newer Batman villain. I think that Grant Morrison actually created him.
Nice.
And he is this incredibly menacing, just off-putting and very sadistic character. You know very little about him at all, and his kind of, he's so insane with how he operates and what he's trying to achieve and whether or not he's actually trying to achieve anything. It's disturbing. He is a very disturbing villain. And I mean, Batman is full, his rogues gallery is full of disturbing villains, but at the same time, they've got a bit of whimsy about them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of, you know, because all the villains that people know about Batman were created in the 1940s, and they've evolved over time. Professor Pig is a very recent creation coming out of Grant Morrison's twisted brain, and he is a very disturbing villain. I enjoy the stories he's involved in.
I think most of the appeal of Batman is honestly because of his villains, like
the
Riddler and the Joker and Penguin, and I mean all these guys are really interesting and they have a lot of depth to them, and that's what makes the difference between like a good superhero movie.
That's exactly right. Where you get bored, where I get bored with comics is especially for Batman, because he's such a badass, is he's got to have a formidable opponent. If he doesn't have a formidable opponent, nobody can hang with him.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
And that's what makes the stories interesting, is if he's got an opponent who can really go toe to toe and is a real challenge. And without
It's kind of an embarrassment of riches for the Batman Rogues Gallery, because if any other of these villains existed in any other universe with any other heroes, I mean, they would be the number one A-list villain. It's like Superman's got Lex Luthor, and Spider-Man has got, I mean, who would we even, I mean, the Goblin?
Kingpin.
Green Goblin. Kingpin. Well, the Kingpin started off as a Daredevil villain.
Yes, but it becomes much more of,
it's part of the New York, crime syndicate was, you know.
During the heyday when I was reading those Spider-Man comics, Kingpin was the main villain. It was always a knockdown, drag out with Kingpin.
Right.
Yeah.
Spider-Man.
Okay. That's cool. Anything else you've read that you want
to? I have, because we went to Phoenix Comic Con, because I went to the Jim Butcher panel with Christopher and his girls, I picked up the Dresden Files Book 1, Stormfront.
What do you think of that?
I am 50 pages into it. I am already digging it. It is told in, so far, it has been told in the first-person perspective of Harry telling his own story.
Every book is that way.
Okay. Yeah. I am enjoying that. I enjoy kind of the mix and mash of the wizard and kind of the hard-boiled detective story.
That sounds great.
Because it definitely brings up those... It's a wizard that exists in a detective story so far.
It's so good.
Kind of the commonly known tropes of a detective story.
Yeah.
You know, he's surly, and he's kind of, you know, he's behind on his rent, and, you know, he gets, you know, he's got angry, annoyed cops that he has to deal with when he's consulting, but he has other cops that rely on him for, you know, his source of expertise, and,
right,
you know, he's kind of confronted with these damsels in distress that he feels obligated to help. So it's got a lot of the hard-boiled detective aspects that I'm digging on a lot so far.
Question. Is this set, like, there's a magic component in the real world, or is it a magical world that has real components?
Both. So far in the book, it's modern-day North America, Chicago.
What my question is there are people who exist in this world that are like muggles that don't, they're not aware of the seedy underbelly of the supernatural. Okay.
Majority of the world.
And the idea behind the series is that people don't want to know.
Yeah. Oh.
We are all going through our daily lives, and things that are in the tabloids that might suggest a supernatural origin, people chalk them up as being BS.
So they just ignore it.
They either ignore it, or they don't believe it, or they're oblivious, and they go about their daily lives. Okay. And if they're confronted by something that is out of the ordinary, the skeptics are always, well, there's got to be an explanation for that, and they don't really embrace the idea that it could be something from the never-never.
So, I'm going to have to pick this book up and check this out, because it sounds interesting.
It is a great series. I have read and or listened to them all, and it is fantastic. Fantastic.
Excellent, excellent. Christopher, what have you been reading?
I started over the Dresden Files, so I'm not reading it. I have them all on from audible.com. I listen to them all, so I listen to them on my commute. And so I finished Stormfront, and I'm on to Fool Moon. And I'm going to work my way through the entire series again because they're so good.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. I have started reading his other fantasy series, Codex Alera. I'm actually going to read those.
Oh, okay.
And I'm very much enjoying book one of that series. It is sort of a mishmash of Roman Legion with Golden Compass. You have like a familiar. You have allies that are elemental sort of creatures.
Oh,
earth and fire and air and water. These elementals will be your ally and aid you. So it has sort of a mix of those two genres. Which so far has been really good. There's spies and legions and legionnaires and badass swordsmen and stuff
but
like that.
That one takes place in a fantasy like sword world. And sorcery like world, yes. Not Earth,
straight,
but
third person narrative, straight up, not Earth, that kind of thing.
Okay, yeah. That sounds cool. Yeah, it's keep good. Reading that. Let us know.
And I'm reading Iron Fist.
I picked up Iron Fist number one as well, Christopher.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Recommendation.
Yeah.
That is a great book.
It's just good.
Number one, dude, and I am in. They didn't have number two at Samurai when I was there, but I'm gonna put that on my pull, and I'm gonna start getting Iron Fist the living weapon. Good.
I'm excited
about it.
Yeah.
So.
It's a really good relaunch of that title.
Yep, I'm enjoying it very much.
Yes, sir.
Right. So those are the main things I'm reading.
All right, cool. Have you guys seen the trailer for a movie with Chris Evans called Snowpiercer? Have you seen this trailer?
No.
Looks like an independent kind of a thing. Well, I was at Barnes & Noble, and I saw the graphic novel, so I sat down for about an hour, and I read about half of the first graphic novel, and Snowpiercer. The idea is like some kind of climate change has happened to Earth, and the way that human beings have had to survive is they're in this train that's 1,000 cars long that doesn't stop moving. If they stop the train, like the heat turns off and they all freeze to death, kind of a thing. And there's like everlasting track, and they just keep going forever. And they can't stop. And it's just like snow outside. And this whole like political, like the people in the front of the train are first class, and they get all the best food, and they get the nice cars. And then everybody in the back of the train is like, they get the scraps, and they all have to like sleep in bunks, and they all like live miserable lives, and they never get a moment but alone. And this whole like uprising of the people in the back of the train, like attacking the front. It's pretty.
Is the train like a self-contained? It has to be like this self-contained biosphere.
Yeah,
where they grow everything and produce everything.
Yeah,
on the train.
It's like a futuristic super train where they like grow meat. They grow this like this chemical meat, like
so there are,
genetic.
There are cars that are the producing cars,
right?
And those,
right.
And then that is distributed throughout the train.
Exactly.
They can't harvest anything off the train.
They can't harvest. They can't stop. They just keep going. Because if the train stops, it'll freeze, and then they'll all die.
Wow.
It's pretty interesting. The art is really interesting. It's like black and white. You know, it's a very independent kind of idea. It looks very different than the comic so far has been very different than what I've seen from the trailer. Because there's like characters in the trailer that I don't recognize at all from the comic. But Chris Evans plays like the leader of the back of the train folk who are trying to take over the front.
I'll have to check that out.
It seems interesting. I think it's going to be like this low budget, kind of crappy, but it's based on a comic book. I don't know what the deal with Chris Evans is making all these comic book movies. Fantastic Four, Losers, Captain America now, you know, and then he's in this Snowpiercer. It's like, all right, dude. So I read that. That was pretty good. I'm still reading Bone. That's a really good book, but I have a lot to read, so I haven't gotten very far. Yeah, that's about it for me, I guess, for cool. Red. Let's move on to Played.
Played.
Sure.
So, you both played Mario Kart 8 this week, yes. Right?
Sure did.
What is your character of choice? What is your drive? The person you pick to drive around as?
I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I play as Toadstool.
Toadstool.
I play as Little Toad.
So awesome. Toadstool is like its strong character for its handling purposes, right? It's not the quickest like acceleration, but it's got the best handling.
Very light. He accelerates well, but he's difficult in the corners.
Okay.
Because he's not heavy enough to have a lot of grip.
Okay. Yep. That's interesting.
Well, in Mario Kart 8, your characteristics, your driving characteristics, is more of a mix of the kart and the wheels and the glider. The glider you select.
So you could select.
It's less of a driver. Thing than a kart plus wheels plus glider.
Because like the older Mario Karts, it was like you're picking like the driver, and right. They had a specific like I used to play as Yoshi. I always have. I would still pick Yoshi because it's like the mixture of the light, heavy, good acceleration.
No, this time around, it's much more. The setup is much more influenced by your combination of cart and or motorcycle and the wheels you choose.
Yep.
Cool. That sounds fun.
And these are all unlockables. As you play, you unlock more variations and options.
I want to come play that.
It is so fun.
Oh my gosh.
I'm thinking we're going to have to bring it with us.
Well, I have a TV that we can hook it up to.
Yes.
Well, we're going to be staying in a place with the television.
Oh, that's true.
Yes, but I think for sure we are going to bring it.
Yeah.
So that it can be played.
Awesome. Yep. That's so awesome.
Yes, the girls and I have been playing a ton of it, and it is a ball. It is so fun. Oh, my character of choice is Baby Rosalina.
So this is the baby version of Rosalina.
She is awesome.
And, why? And
just because she's so cute.
Oh. Rosalina, what game is Rosalina from? Is she Galaxy? Is she Mario Galaxy?
I don't know.
Wow, that's a good question. I don't know what her original appearance was.
I think she's the princess of Mario Galaxy. Because it's not Princess. So. I don't think it's Princess Peach. Okay. That's good.
That is my favorite character. If one of the girls has not taken Baby Rosalina, that's who I select.
Well, there's like baby versions of everybody, right? There's Baby Mario Yoshi.
I have announced that to the girls, and they call me out on this. that I will drive nothing but babies.
Oh, wow.
Yes, my selections will always be a baby character.
They're so cute and little.
And Patrick, you're a genius. Yes, Rosalina first appeared in Super Mario Galaxy.
Wow. I have all the knowledge in my brain.
Well done, buddy.
All the knowledge.
All of it. All the knowledge.
So you've been playing Diablo still? Yes?
Definitely.
How's that going?
Great fun. I am currently leveling a witch doctor.
Ooh.
I have a wizard, demon hunter, monk, and crusader, all level 70.
Jesus, man.
My barbarian is level 65. And I am leveling up the witch doctor, and I got her to level 58 today.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
The witch doctor, I was just going to say, if you're just starting with a witch doctor, like, the witch doctor gets really nasty around, like, level 20 or 30. But, like, before that, it's kind of tough. But you're way beyond that. Jeez.
Well, with the Paragon system, the way it is, you're level 1 character blows shit out of the water because your Paragon levels, I'm Paragon level 161 right
so
now.
what is a Paragon level buff? It buffs like your health, your damage,
everything, whatever you put the points into. So it can buff your speed, it can buff your base damage, you know, your base skill intellect for witch doctors. It can buff your area damage, your critical hit.
Whoa.
Or all of this, you know, your life on hit, your armor, it can buff all those things. And so,
is that individual or is that like character? Like, is that account wide? Like, you level your paragon. Okay, so you level the paragon.
My level one witch doctor had 160 paragon points to assign.
Oh, so once you start a new character, you put points
you
in
get to assign all of those.
Different yes. to each character.
So you are
right.
Uber. Yes. You are Uber from the get-go, from the jump. So my level one was just smoking fools at close to the highest difficulty level.
There's a similar system in Borderlands 2. It's called Badass Points. And yeah.
Of course it's called
Badass. Of course it's called Badass Points. But, like, you level up, and, like, you do certain things. You, like, kill a certain amount of enemies, or you achieve something at a certain pace, and you get extra points, and you put those in. It's like you add 5% to health. You add 5.5% to damage. Yeah. And that's for all of your characters, like, across the board. So
it's just a variation on once you hit level 70, you got to have some kind of a motivator, additional motivator.
Right.
To continue to play, and so you continue to get experience points. They just go into your Paragon levels.
I see.
So my level 70 characters can continue to accumulate Paragon levels that are applicable across all the characters on my account.
That's cool.
So I log into, I play the wizard primarily. And so the wizard is my main, and so I play the wizard a lot. And so I will go to, say, the monk. I played the monk for the first time in a long time this week. And the monk had, like, 15 Paragon points to assign.
Jeez.
Because I hadn't played her in a while. And so in the intervening time period, the wizard or whatever had accumulated 15 Paragon levels. And so I get to assign all those points. And then play the monk with that additional power. So.
Is there a cap on the Paragon points, or it just goes on forever?
No.
So
forever.
So this game is unlimited. There is no.
There is a cap on how many points you can assign.
Oh.
To an individual category. So I think the highest, like in certain categories, like critical hit, you increase your critical hit percentage.
Yeah.
The maximum points you can assign to that is like 50 points.
Okay.
That maxes out that category, and that's like a plus. Oh, jeez. I know I'm going to screw this up. It's like a plus 20% critical hit
Okay.
chance. So
if you have all 50 points, you get a plus 20.
I mean, you can theoretically you can continue. There is no limit to how high your intelligence can be.
Oh, wow.
There's no cap on that. And but there are categories. See there, and it rotates. This is an interesting system. There are four or five categories that you can assign points to,
uh-huh.
and it rotates. So the main stat, you gain a paragon level, and say you get that 1 point in the main stat. So you assign it amongst three or four different options, and then the next paragon level you get, you shift into the new category.
Oh.
So that new category is armor and resistance, whatever. And so there's 1 point that you can add to that category. So it's not, it's a pretty well designed system to keep you playing and
right.
and accumulate the level. So there are hardcore people who have hundreds of paragon levels, and it would take forever to max out every category. You just can't. I mean, I don't think it's possible.
That sounds insane.
Can I make a comment?
Yeah.
About all of this.
Yeah.
I think this is easily the most densely geeky conversation that we've ever had.
It's a good thing we're on a podcast that's called The Brothers Geek.
Brothers Geek.
That was just incredibly dense.
That's awesome. Okay. Dude, we want
it. Bad.
Geek discussion.
Yeah, no, the playability, the replayability for the game. I have a great time with it. It's very fun. And I also fired up this week at the prompting of my brother-in-law Sean. I haven't played WoW in forever. I'm sort of waiting for the next expansion. And so I fired up a game of Civ 5. I love that game, and I'm playing Civ 5 again. So, but cool. That game is easy to come back to and start over, and it's a complex game, but it's fun to sort of get started and build your nation. And so
did you see they announced another Civilization at E3, the Galaxy one or whatever?
Yes.
That looks cool.
What is it called? Mm-hmm.
Civ Beyond or something?
Beyond the Stars or something.
Yeah. Looks cool.
Yep.
You think you'll pick that up?
Yep. Beyond Earth.
Beyond Earth. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I will definitely be playing that.
I know you love those Civ games. I don't like turn-based games.
No.
That never works for me. I like things to happen real time,
Yeah. So that's it. That's what I've played. I've been having a good time.
That sounds good. Andrew, you got anything else, or is just Mario Kart?
That's what I got.
Okay.
Like, under rock.
I didn't play much this week because I was too busy watching like gameplay videos from E3, doing my research, reading up, a lot of like game like knowledge. I'm really excited about WildStar. I want to play that, but it's not a good time for me. So I need to. Get caught up on real life things before I throw down on WildStar.
Yes, sir.
I want to give that a try too. So.
Plus, like the last MMO I played, WoW, I didn't leave the house for anything.
You played that and
8 hours a day.
You would come home from working at the restaurant, and I would go to sleep at 10, 11 o'clock. And I would get up at 6 in the morning to go to work, and you would still be playing.
Yep.
That's why our electricity bill got to be like $300, because you had all the electronics and the lights blazing all night.
I was kind of addicted to World of Warcraft. I'm not going to lie. It's like any drug. You never quite are over heroin. You always want it. I always want WoW. I want WoW right now. I need is a little bit, just a taste. And I'm worried about WildStar doing that to me too. And I'll never like talk to a girl ever again or leave my house.
Have you gone cold turkey with WoW? When was the last time you played WoW?
Oh, 2-3 years ago.
Wow, you went cold turkey.
Cold turkey, man.
The cycle.
I know.
That's incredible, man.
Let's change the subject. We need to.
Okay. That's like gonna start itching his arm and stuff.
I need it, bro. No, like seriously. World of Warcraft. like
World Cup update.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about World Cup. How many games have you guys watched? Any?
I watched 3 on Saturday.
Yeah.
I watched a few on Saturday. I watched 3 full matches.
I've watched some really good games. Holy crap.
And then I watched the second half of the USA Ghana match today when I was at the gym.
Dude, that was such a good game. Oh my god.
That game's fantastic.
I had a meeting today, and so I wasn't able to watch it, but I listened to it driving home. Great stuff.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah.
I was at a sports bar in Portland, Blitz, and
we went there the last time I was there.
Same place. It was packed to the gills. And
we gotta go to when we're there in 2 weeks, there's gonna be cup matches going on.
Speaking of going out, you know, Daniel threw down the gauntlet. He said we may be going out to dinner, but it is not the official Premier League
Schmaltz Cup.
Oh, we'll have to wait until come back for Christmas and then we'll all do it.
Yes. Gonna have to be when you are here where we can all go.
That's fine.
I understand him clarifying that.
It's just valid. The next time I'm seeing most of the brothers, it'll be when you guys come up here to visit. Yep. So
we gotta have a board meeting though. Breakfast or dinner somewhere.
We'll do something. The brothers are there. We'll do a live recording board meeting.
World Cup is great fun.
I've been watching. It makes me want like a USA jersey. I'm so glad we won. Oh my god, the spirit was so like exciting,
and it gives me hope. Portugal got blitzed by Germany.
My god.
Oh yeah,
and so I'm wondering if the next game for the US is Portugal, right? So
yeah.
There's a real chance there. If we can pull off a point or even get the win, holy cow, we could be in.
In that game, one of Portugal's best players, Pepe, got red carded, and so he's not going to be playing.
Seriously.
He's not going to be playing against us. That's huge.
Good chance against Portugal.
Yeah, we got a real chance. So, I'm excited.
That's cool.
Yeah. World Cup's awesome. Yes, I keep having conversations with people who don't know anything about soccer and explaining it to them.
Yeah. Christopher,
we're converts now. We went into this long explanation for Dad. It was like, oh my god, I never could have had this conversation a year ago. Yeah.
How to explain people how it all works, the points, how what a yellow card is. Like,
we went into strategy about set pieces and it was great.
Yeah,
I'm impressed. I'm surprised at the Americans. How many Americans have no idea how it all works?
They don't know how.
That's right.
I'm the most knowledgeable soccer fan I know, and
I was just thinking back on this past year. Literally, I watched Premier League every Saturday and Sunday for the entire year.
Yeah.
I mean, I did. I was waking up at 6 a.m. to watch the early match.
Yeah, right? Those are crazy. Jeez.
When you watch it that much, you absorb all of that info.
We spent more time watching Premier League than we probably did watching NFL this year.
No question about that.
We gathered there for Vikings games to watch those on TV. When Tottenham played Arsenal, We gathered for that.
Question. There's a guy playing for the U.S. team called Jozy Altidore. He went out injured.
Altidore.
He plays for Swansea. Is that right? He's like an American that plays in the Barclays.
Yes.
I thought he played
Tim Howard is the Everton goalie.
Yeah, he's the Everton goalie.
Oh, wow.
Altidore.
And he's a great goalie. Everton had a great.
He had a great game, dude. He had so many saves.
Yeah, he played well. This whole second half, all Ghana did was take shots.
Just take shots. They had 15 shots on goal, dude.
Yeah,
it was nuts.
Played for Sunderland.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I knew. Yeah. That's cool. I like that. There's like good Americans that are playing for good teams.
Yeah, no,
that are on our team. You know, they're on our national squad.
Well, Germany played today, and there are four guys on the German roster that play for Arsenal.
Oh my God!
their team is stacked.
Yeah, Germany's really good. Holy I think my early predictions from the games I've watched, Germany and Netherlands have been the most dominant. Like they just, I mean, points scored obviously, but
dominated Spain.
Yeah, they dominated Spain. Best. Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
So
U.S. showed some stiff defense in the second half.
But they
onslaught. Unrelenting in the second.
Yeah, but they gotta work on maintaining possession.
Like
I agree completely. Hope they did not play a perfect game.
One of our it's not a forward. One of our midfielders. He's like a bald guy. I was gonna look up his name. He failed like three times to make a play, in throughout the game. Like I kept watching him and he kept sucking. I'm gonna look up his name.
That's not good.
Yeah. He had like three or four opportunities where it was passing him or went right past him, and all he needed to do is turn up the juice and kick it and he would have had a goal, or he would have like made something happen out of it, and he failed. He failed.
Yeah, you can't do that at this level.
Yeah, right? Okay. Yeah, you got those opportunities, you gotta get it together, and I noticed it. So
exactly. Yep. Yeah.
All right. What trivia question do you have for us, Andrew?
I have a trivia question tonight in honor of Game of Thrones ending.
Oh.
I have a trivia question. It is not about the show. It is about the world of the show in the books.
Oh, okay.
So here in there is no multiple choice. I am going to. Here's the question. At the time of Aegon the Conqueror's conquest of Westeros, what are the seven kingdoms on the continent of Westeros at the time of the conquest?
Oh, jeez.
Jesus. Seriously?
Yeah. So at the time of the conquest, so not currently, so like Dorne is not one of them?
No, I'm telling you, at the time of the conquest, what were the seven kingdoms of Westeros?
So Dorne is not one of them?
No, Dorne is one of them.
Dorne is one. Dorne, the North.
Iron Islands.
Those are three, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Three, you guys are right.
What do we think? Is the Eyrie technically one?
The Eyrie is the capital of one of the kingdoms.
Oh, okay.
What's the name of the... Something to do with the Riverlands or some shit.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That. The rivers, River Kingdom. I don't know.
Yeah. That's tough, man.
This is a deep cut.
That's a deep cut, yeah.
Give it to us,
yeah. Andrew? Oh, are you guys delayed? There.
You guys are cutting
in and
out.
Okay, here we go.
You guys give any more answers?
Give it to us. Yeah.
Technically, the Riverlands were not an independent territory at the time of the conquest. They were ruled by, the Stormlands.
Oh.
So you guys got three. Okay. It was the North,
Stormlands.
The North, the Iron Islands, the Kingdom of Mountain and Vale.
Oh, that's what I was trying to think of. Damn it.
Got it.
The Westerlands, which are ruled by the Lannisters Casterly Rock.
Yeah.
The Kingdom of the Reach, which is ruled from Highgarden.
Oh.
The Stormlands. Which is ruled from Storm's End by the Baratheons.
Uh-huh.
And the Kingdom of Dorne, which is the southernmost kingdom and is ruled from Sunspear. But Dorne was technically not conquered at Aegon's invasion.
Is there
were absorbed into the Seven Kingdoms through treaties and marriage and things like
next
that.
Next season
were actually
should,
never conquered.
There should be multiple. There should be a good storyline from Dorne next season.
Yes, I am excited to see that.
Is there any connection with like the Seven Kingdoms and like the Seven Gods, like the Mother and the?
Well,
the number 7 comes up a lot in the West history of Westeros. So,
okay.
I mean, George R. R. Martin has said that the aspect of the seven, the faith of, you know, the main faith in Westeros, at least in the southern part of Westeros, in the north they still worship the children of the forest and the old gods.
Yeah.
He expanded on the idea of the Trinity and how the Trinity was kind of the focal point of the Catholic Church in the Middle Ages. He expanded on that idea of the three different aspects of one deity. So now there's 7 aspects of one deity.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, like that part where they're like blessing somebody, or they're looking for strength, and they're like talking about all the gods.
May the warrior give him strength. May the smith give him, you know, give him. May the father bring justice. May the mother bring blah blah blah.
Yeah, they were sitting at the hound was
crafting. The crone is for wisdom.
Yeah, yeah. So Rangers cool. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm surprised anybody hasn't turned that into like an actual religion, because people are freakazoids about stuff like that.
Oh, I'm sure that somebody has. There's no question.
I'm sure there are people who have written on certain government forms, you know, what is your religious affiliation? They put the faith of the seven.
Faith of the seven.
I'm sure they do. Yeah.
I worship the old gods. I worship the old. Oh, yeah. You can be a Jedi in England. That's true. All right. Anything else you guys got?
That's what I got.
Good.
I'm gonna go see How to Train Your Dragon True this week.
I am too. I'm really excited to see that.
I am chomping at the bit to see How to Train Your Dragon too.
Totally.
I saw this past weekend with my girls. It was it's terrific movie.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
If you'd like to send Andrew an email about trivia questions, you could send him an email at kinginthenorth52@gmail.com. You should follow us on Twitter @brothers_geek on twitter.com. And you should visit the site, brothersgeek.com, for all your show needs.
Go on to iTunes, and if you're downloading our podcast from iTunes,
5 stars. Rate is high.
You should please give us 5 stars, or
yes,
because we're awesome.
Or if you think Andrew sucks, give us 1 star. Or if you think Andrew sucks, give us 5 stars and say in your comments that Andrew sucks.
Here's what we'll do. If you give us 1 star, we'll murder Andrew and replace him with our other brother Daniel. And it'll still be the brother Schmaltz.
No, we won't murder anyone, Patrick.
How did it
become? I got hardcore quick. Sorry. That escalated quickly. I apologize.
Yeah. You will not be hitting him with a trident.
No. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening, everybody. Have a good night.
Have a good one.
Have a good night, boys.
Good night.
Bye.